Those are just things. All right. We'll call this meeting to order. Tonight is Wednesday, April 20th. What is today? The 23rd?
23rd.
Yeah, 23rd. I've lost track of time. It's the Oceano Community Services District. It is 6:30 p.m. Can I get a roll call, Marie?
President Guerrero?
I'm present.
Vice President Lucy?
Here.
Director White?
Here.
Director Angelo?
Here.
Director Blackburn?
Here.
Everybody is present, including District Legal Counsel. If you join me with the flag salute.
Ready? One, two, three. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number four is the agenda review. Are there any modifications or changes to the agenda? I'm sure everybody noticed it's a rather short one.
I don't believe I have any.
I don't either.
If Lori, all right. If there, I'll make a motion to approve.
So move. Approve the.
I'll second then. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries by vote of 5-0. The agenda is approved. We'll go to item number five for public comment on matters not on the agenda. Is there any public comment this evening? Mr. Edwards, good evening, sir.
Thank you, President Guerrero. Good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. And there are a number of topics I was hoping to visit with you, but I think given the election time, I wanted to perhaps reflect on some of the election issues, specifically the District 4 supervisorial race. And as some of you may know, they had a debate at Napomo High School a week ago yesterday, where the three candidates, Mr. Byrd, Ms. Compton, and the incumbent, Karen Ray, all spoke and were asked questions. It was put on by the LOC, as you may know. And I guess that I'm a little concerned. The first thing that strikes me is how detached all of the candidates are from Oceano. I'm particularly disappointed with Karen Ray and some of her answers and responses. She was, for example, unaware that the Oceano-specific plan has been in place for over 10 years. Her response to perceived crime in Oceano was to bring in more deputies. And I didn't hear the words jobs or the word jobs or economic development mentioned once by Ms. Ray. And again, I was disappointed. Frankly, I'm not sure Ms. Ray is a friend of Oceano's. You may remember that Ms. Ray came into office, was appointed by the governor, and Adam Hill was largely responsible for her appointment. He lobbied for her quite a lot. And you also may recall that Adam Hill has horses right down the street in Grover Beach Lodge and Conference Center. And Adam Hill is very interested in making sure those horses are moved, and they want them moved into Oceano. I think you know that. The problem is the equestrian or horses in Oceano, it doesn't do anything for Oceano's economic situation, doesn't do anything for job creation, doesn't do anything for revitalization. Yet it appears that Mr. Hill and the conference center and his interest in moving the equestrians this way is going to be backed up by Ms. Ray, because Ms. Ray and Adam Hill have a very close relationship, as I've mentioned. Again, I don't think Ms. Ray is any friend of Oceano's. And that's unfortunate, because you need a friend. And
has political legs. There is a great deal of unhappiness about the vote, how the whole process was conducted, and there is a great deal of consternation among people who did not receive ballots and from people who did not vote because they felt it was intimidating that they had to sign the ballots. So, as you know, without the municipal votes, the vote was 62-38, 62 winning, 38 losing, without the municipal votes. The second point I wish to make, I think it's very important to restore confidence on the part of citizens in this whole issue that the present board resign. And the board should be replaced by the senior executives of the Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and this body here. That is your president, the mayors of Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach. And the reason for that, we need heavy artillery applied to the problems they face because of the budget shortfall they face and other problems. So that's my second point. First being, this is a political issue. It has legs. Right? Second, we think the present board should resign. In that context, I want to make the following point. The voters are not at fault for the votes going down. The firemen are not at fault. This board is not at fault. Neither is the councils of Arroyo Grande or Grover Beach at fault. The fault lies exclusively with the board of the fire authority. That's without making any assertions about people, but functionally, that's where the fault lies. A major failure, over $200,000 spent without any useful purpose at this point. The third thing, and then I will leave, if I may, unless you wish to question me. The third point, I think it would be prudent, possibly echoing the comments that were just made before, you ought to solicit your own bid from CAL FIRE. It takes one member to leave the fire authority. And if you want to understand what power is, you have power. If the other Grover and Arroyo Grande are the big dogs in this issue, you are the wagging that dog, and you could wag that dog. The tail on that dog, and you could wag that dog if you wanted to. Not that you will.
Thank you, Mr. Page. The 3 minutes is up. Thank you very much.
Excuse me?
The 3 minutes is up. Thank you for your comments.
You excusing me now?
Pardon?
You excusing me?
Well, we do have another public comment
I understand. Do you have any questions?
No, thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Is there any other public comment this evening? No? All right. We'll close public comment. We'll move on to item number six. There are no special presentations.
Yeah, your comments.
We do have moved on to reports. Sheriff's South Station, I don't see the Sheriff's Commander or the Fire Chief. We'll move on to item 7C, which is the OCSD operations. And Mr. Maricino is here. Good evening, Tony. And we did receive a report and some pictures. These were from you, Tony.
Good evening, Board. Just give you a little update. Work orders, we had 10 of them in the past 2 weeks. We had 4 USAs and 12 customer service calls. We cleaned over 14,000 feet of sewer main. A lot of sedimentation was in the sewer, so we had to vacuum it out and then dispose of it at the sanitation district. We also installed 4 one-inch services, and these were all hot taps that were done by the crew. It was all completed in 1 day. Everything seems to be running pretty well right now, considering we've been pumping. I got no complaints. Everything's operating fine right now. No after-hour call-outs. The pictures you see in front of you, the problems we're running into is root intrusion. You can see the roots right there in front of you. Right. That's in a manhole. There's actually a sewer main. You can't even see it. But that's what we're dealing with. That's what slows us up on the sewer cleaning. And then also the other 3 pictures in the back is the manhole that's been paved over approximately 4 inches of asphalt. You can tell it's been there for a little while. It's not the first manhole, and I'm assuming it's not going to be the last. We've encountered sand covering these manholes system. We've got to physically cut these roots out and remove them.
What do you hook on to something on them and yank them out? Or?
Anything and everything we can use, yes.
Tony, let me talk to me a little bit about sewer laterals, right?
Yes.
My understanding is that there's two geographic areas in the county of San Luis Obispo where the property owner is responsible for, it's either 36 inches or 5 feet off the property line. It becomes the district's responsibility. And so when you go in and have to maintain all these sewer laterals and stuff, is that typical for an area? Or because I know in cities, the customer is responsible to up to the middle of the street. Typically.
Yes, they are responsible for the entire lateral, including the connection to the main, wherever that main may be.
Okay. And how many water mains would you say we break in a year?
Mains and services, we average one a month.
One a month?
Yes, that's my
average. And on average, what does that cost us to, just a wild estimate each time, you know? And I know that each one has a different severity, or, you know, but on an average, what does it cost us each month to replace that one main?
That's a very...
A guesstimate is all I'm asking for.
You can go $5,000 to $15,000.
$5,000 to $15,000 a month.
Depending on parts, material, equipment, how bad the break is, what kind of damage the main does when it does break, it can do severe damage.
And of course, the fact that we lose water.
Yes.
Right. Do we ever have sewer mains break, or they just clog up and make a big mess? And
we haven't had any sewer mains that have spilled. We have had sewer mains that have been clogged, yes.
Yeah.
And we've had numerous laterals get clogged, yes.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Yes.
I saw you gave us this proposal. It's not on the agenda tonight. Are you proposing we put this on the agenda?
No, that's just an information that it's going to be up and coming, that will be on the agenda here. Shortly.
Okay, so will this be coming from the Water and Sewer Committee?
Yes.
We'll be discussing it at our next Water Sewer meeting on the 29th.
Okay. So it does say draft right across the front
of it.
I can get that, so we'll wait to hear back from the Water and Sewer Committee. Karen, I had a question.
Are these roots coming from street trees or people's trees in the yards or everything? Are they coming up or are they coming down?
It's coming from vegetation to trees to property owner trees to county trees.
So it's not just street trees?
No, it's not just the street.
The mandatory trees that are supposed to decorate the area.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
There's no further.
And I actually
Go
wanted
ahead,
to ask him,
please.
Are we moving forward with replacing the jetter, or have we come to that decision already?
No.
No.
I'm seeing heads go like this, and I'm seeing heads go like this.
No, it depends personally if you like it or not, I guess. I believe that will be coming back to the board at the next meeting.
Oh, okay. So we're going to have it on the Water and Sewer Committee and then move it forward. Okay, great.
It's my understanding, aren't we using the jetter?
Yeah, it's being used
every week,
correct?
Yeah, we're renting a truck.
Every week we're using it, yes.
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. We'll move on to Board of Directors and Outside Committees as item number 8. We'll start with Director Angelou.
I don't have any.
All right. We'll move to Director Blackburn.
All right. On the 15th, I attended the Zone 1-1A Committee with Director White. And there is a report provided there, and then you guys have it, but I'll just highlight a few things. County staff did receive a letter from U.S. Fish and Wildlife regarding the Meadow Creek Lagoon reed management, and they said that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife had determined that the work cannot be continued without harming the red-legged frog. So there will need to be a permit pursuant to the Federal Endangered Species Act and a habitat conservation plan required before that project can move forward. So those are expensive and time-consuming endeavors, so they're looking at other opportunities and ways of going about it. But in the meantime, the county will continue to maintain the flood control facilities that are there.
Jennifer, I have a question for you. That the zone 11A was created after the levee breached, and so there was a taxation of the people who lived along the creek. There was a discussion on whether to spread those that taxation, that assessment, to maintain.
So, but I will find out for sure exactly where it's being spent. But I do know that the beaver dams did get mentioned at the meeting, and they said that there's no point in even taking them down right now because they'll build them back up in a day. So, Director White, do you remember, did they say that they were going to deal with those later or if a storm was coming?
No, they're not going to deal with them because there's as much good as there is bad with a beaver dam, because if you had a high water flow, it would stop the water, but then it would breach and it would clear out the sandbar downstream. So and they rebuild them in a day or two. So they eat willows.
Actually, the one I'm talking has been there for 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It has not been touched in 2.5 years.
No, they haven't done anything with the beavers.
Okay, so if you can get us an assessment of that money, I think the people who actually have to pay that assessment would appreciate that.
Gladly.
Thank you.
Sure. There is also some maintenance that is going to need to be done on the Sand Canyon flop gates. They found recently that the bracing is nearly corroded all the way through, so that repair is planned for July and August during the dry season, but they're going to need to get a CEQA exemption for that. Also, they had discovered that there are member and alternate seat openings on the committee. There's one member seat for a small property owner, who owns fewer than 5 acres, and then there are two alternate positions open for small property owners. There are also 5 alternate positions open for large property owners with more than 5 acres. So I have an application here. We have some right up on the desk right there, but they'll also be available at the OCSD office. So,
thanks.
Sure.
Is that it?
The Oceano Advisory Council website is up, and it has information about the candidate forum, which will be on Wednesday, May 7th.
It doesn't show a time on the candidate forum.
Darn it. It is from 6 to 8.
6 to 8,
yeah.
Okay.
Well,
do you know who's monitoring
that.
It?
I'm sorry?
Do you know who's moderating it?
Yes, the League of Women Voters is moderating it.
Okay.
Darn it.
It'll be right here at
yeah.
6 o'clock next Wednesday, right when I have a sanitation plan.
I know.
Thanks. I did. Speaking of, I attended the sanitation plant meeting last Wednesday. The only business item was we received the financial review for the third quarter. Remember, at mid-year we were running at 33% of budget. I don't have the percentage amounts because at this time yet, because the March revenues were not in yet. But so far, the district revenues have exceeded expenses by $415,000. Which is better than the $750,000 or so that we were losing every year. What this does not include, though, if you remember last year we did the pro forma, it does show about $10 million in needs once you put in the plant redundancy that the water board wants, and it does not include the any recycled water projects, which I think the board is... I can say very, very strongly that the board is coming around and wants to do a recycled water project. Of course, it'll require some state or federal funding in order to make that happen. The estimates run, and these are real loose estimates, $35, $40 million plus delivery, which could be another $20 million. And so one of the things that I'll bring back to this board at the time when we start that is whether or not when we're replacing our own infrastructure, if we lay a purple pipe in the ground with it, there has to be some separation. I don't know what it is, but whether or not we put in a purple pipe to offer recycled water to our residents in those particular areas for irrigation and such, so that we're not using fresh water. 60%, according to what Rick Sweet, our plant manager, he's not our plant manager, he's our district administrator, excuse me, about 60% of the cost is the tearing up the street and mm-hmm. the digging it out, and so... we wouldn't have to absorb that the second time, and that's my thinking. We're not there yet. We're a long way from there, but if we do get a recycled water plant to be able to pump it to the community, to the farmers, to wherever we want to do it, that would be the time to look at those issues. So that's it. I'll pass on to Miss Lucy.
A grant announcement was released in the county, I guess about 6 days ago, for a small amount of grant funds in response to the drought. This is just the beginning of the money. This was some old prop money that was left over. And the turnaround time on that was 5 days. And so Tony and I started taking out, trying to catch this grant by the tail.
That's the IRWM.
That's the IRWM. The IRWM is the master plan, you know. And so so we wrote the narrative, and Tony started pulling all the supporting documents together to at least get the Beach Street disaster or fountain or whatever you want to call that thing down there. We couldn't pull it off, you know. And we had to prove that the drought had impacted our water supply. What's impacted our water supply, of course, is part of the drought, but it's also politics. You know, Sacramento continues to take $500,000 from Oceano and continues to deliver 0 gallons of water to us, even though the rumor on the street right now is that 5% of the drought buffer water will be released back from 0%. But you know, I haven't seen any paperwork on that yet, but that is one possibility. Our system is in worse shape than I think most people realize. And somehow, you know, we have another grant that we're going after, you know. We're going to have to figure out how to do this. We're going to have to, you know, look at the tier system. It's going to have to be multi-pronged. We have to look at conservation. We are 33% owners of that sanitation department. The city, the area of Oceano owns 33 1/3% of the sand district. You know, that means that the 5 million gallons that's getting flushed out in the ocean, 33 1/3% of that is ours. You know, we're responsible for that. So we're contributing to this drought by having leaky pipes, by having dead end systems that don't benefit anybody, you know, and by not using our storm runoff and stuff as potable water. If we did those things, we wouldn't have a drought, you know. So I don't know what the board, you know, we're trying our best to get some money in to maybe even piecemeal the thing, you know. We're not saying fund the whole entire, you know, water project in Oceano, but at least allow us to have the resources to fund portions like the Beach Street. So yeah, we spent a lot of time on that this week. And so we're going after another one.
So the punchline with the IRWM money is we're not going to be able to get that? Or?
Punchline with the IRWM money is that it is a five-day turnaround. Unless you are a big, fat organization that has 20-plus employees who have shovel-ready projects sitting on a shelf somewhere, you have in-house engineers, you are out of the car. That's just the bottom line. You know, and the way the process is set up, small communities cannot even begin to compete on that level.
They're supposed to. I think the language here is they're supposed to be competitive and eligible projects.
Yeah.
That means shovel ready. And
so you want to talk about competitive after this?
Sure.
Okay, because, you know. So anyway, and it's a 5-county plan. So you're going to do coordination with 5 counties or 4 counties in 5 days. It's just unrealistic. It's a setup. So I think there's other money. I know there's other money out there that's better, and be ready for next year, because next year is when, you know, the money will be available. This is $19 million split across 4 counties. Oceano ain't in the running there.
Too small.
Well, we don't have the political clout that others have, or the money, or the vineyards.
Karen?
Yeah, well, of course, first was the fire vote, which failed. And I was the one that actually called a question to actually go ahead with the vote, because I said, let the people decide, and the people decided. Actually, it was the property owners who decided I believe there was some impact from the absentee owners who might live somewhere else and didn't see the need. And yeah, there was some other issues you can argue, but at this point, that's old history. That's happened, it's done, and we are looking forward already to looking for other funds, to looking for ways of tightening our belt, hopefully to find enough so that at least we can keep three firefighters on a truck. And we'll be going ahead with that. Excuse me, we'll be going ahead with that. And if I get in trouble, I get in trouble. I wouldn't support the state of California taking over the Lucemar School District and running it as a part of a state organization. And I do not support Cal Fire taking over the Five Cities Fire Authority and running it as part of a state organization. Thank you. And also, I need one more little report.
Yes, please.
Huh?
Please.
I was invited to a Cuesta College luncheon, and they are expanding and changing the deadlines on the Cuesta Promise. I don't know if people know about that. The first semester at Cuesta College for any student living in San Luis Obispo County who's starting in school is free. Yeah. Free tuition, free books, free everything. It's called the Cuesta Promise. Somebody left $8 million to Cuesta College, and rather than build buildings, just if they put it into an endowment to encourage young people to go on to school. And they have now, we have the enrollment application has been extended to June 16th. So the program is still available, and they are extremely excited. I was trying to see. They also have, they've expanded this program. It now covered this year 1,200 students, from 200 up to 1,200. And that's a lot of kids getting a chance to cut into school. They've also, their accreditation has been totally reaffirmed, and they're back on the good track. And 21 different majors at Cuesta College. If you take one of those majors and you complete the 2 years of work, you go into the California State system, California State College system as a junior. You've completed your first 2 years at Cuesta, and you know that makes the money go a lot further. And you're accepted, you're automatically accepted. Right. You're there as a junior. So anyway, it's a really, really interesting program, and Gil Stark is a pretty outstanding guy. I guess he was the college president, and then he retired, and now he's back as the college president again. He's got all going straight and forward. At least that was what they told us. So, and I think that the Quest of Promise is pretty cool.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's really fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. We'll move on to item number 9, which is the consent agenda. We'll take public comment on the consent agenda at this time. Ms. Tacker, good evening.
Good evening. I am Julie Tacker, and I probably shouldn't have touched that. I wanted to speak to your committee reports, and I will start with Director White. Director White, you clearly have a bias, and that is not your job. Your job is to represent the ratepayers, and I think Mr. Page was asking for new representation on the Five Cities Fire Authority, and when you have a bent like that, it might really be time to look at replacing Ms. White in that position. The obligation for all of you is to the ratepayer, whether it's the Five Cities Fire Authority or the Sanitation District, or when you're talking about your own water and sewer laterals, water and sewer systems. That is your job, is to the ratepayer. To ask for a quote from Cal Fire commits you to nothing. to say that after the vote, you're going to tighten your belt and look for other funding, that's too late. That should have been done before you invested in the consultants that led you astray and spent a lot of Five Cities Fire Authority money that could have bought the things that they had their hand out for. It upsets me to hear you say that, because I have a very good experience with CAL FIRE in Los Osos. I have experienced that. Our fire crews are the same guys, and they know where everyone's houses are. And if you've been to Los Osos, you know that our dirt roads are dead ends. You have to learn how to get to different parts of the town, and they do. They are contractually obligated to average a 5-minute response time, and even with the sewer construction, they've been able to meet that. So I encourage the leadership at the Five Cities Fire Authority to ask for a quote. It hurts you not. It's the right thing to do for your ratepayers. When Mr. Guerrero talks about the sanitation district, I didn't hear when the sanitation district is coming with its handout. I know it's coming, and I believe it's later this year. How much and when? And when the community's a little raw right now over the Five Cities Fire Authority, I think I'm saddened that...
And flood. Zone 11A is fundamentally Rio Grande Creek channel management, and it's paid for by the folks in 11A. It makes me think about all the different districts and so forth. You have 11A, you have the Sand District, Zone 3, NCMA, Five Cities Fire Authority. I think it would be helpful for this board to review your participation in each one of these groups and really assess why are you there and what is in your part, what's in it for Oceano. I think it's really important because, you know, Mr. Guerrero, you talked about recycled water and from the Sand District, and that's a great idea, but it's very, very expensive. Mm-hmm. Just the planning of it is expensive, let alone the implementation. And the question in my mind, what does it do for Oceano? You don't need any water. Supply is not your issue. So when it comes to the Sand District, I don't think you should be spending any money. This district should be contributing for recycled water investigations. You've got NCMA. I see on the cash disbursements there's another $2,000 plus to WSC. Your other NCMA members, they have a different plan. They need water supply. They need to develop things. Zone 3, they want to raise the dam. The whole HCP that Zone 3 is engaged in, that's not helping you, but you're paying for it. So again, I think it'd be helpful to reflect on all those. I'll also comment quickly on your other agenda items. This resolution declaring a water shortage for Oceano, I don't know where this came from. Oceano doesn't have a water shortage. You have an infrastructure deficiencies, but please don't pass this. This doesn't do anything for Oceano. Again, I'm not sure where it came from, and I hope Mr. Minery didn't spend much time on it. You have IGM and GM appointment on your closed session. What's that about? I haven't even seen a job description on your website for a GM. You couldn't possibly be anywhere near appointing somebody for that position, I hope.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Is there any other public comment this evening? All right, we'll close public comment. Move to the consent agenda. Is there a motion on the consent agenda?
I just had one comment.
Okay.
On the March 26th minutes on item 10B. Director Angelo was recused. She didn't abstain. That was on the fire assessment.
Oh, right.
So that was my only comment. So.
And I think the record should reflect that the cash disbursements is the amended cash disbursements. there's no, go ahead, Jeff.
Directors of the board, I will. I would like to make a clarification. I know that the legal fees in March were substantially higher than has been in the past, but what is here in your amended cash disbursements is $1,350 higher than what was invoiced from my office. $1,350 of this was from the consultant, Sue Wog, who has been separated now out as far as invoicing is concerned. So I want to make that one clarification.
It's not on the latest ones that you all got yesterday, because Jeff just brought this to my attention this afternoon, so I made the adjustments. The total amount between the two is still the same. One is for his office and one is for Susan Wong's office. That's my mistake.
All right, that's fine. All right, is there a motion then to approve the consent agenda?
I move that we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All right, I have a motion and a second. We'll do a roll call vote. Marie?
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes. The vote carries by 5-0. Move on to the business items. We'll take public comment on the business item at this time. There's only one business item, which is the resolution 2014-XX, which doesn't stand for 20, but a resolution of the Board of Directors of Oceano Community Service District directing staff to place a lien on properties. This is something that we have.
You know, so at that time, I was under the impression that it was going to be drawn up based on our discussion and that we were going to bring it back to the board for approval, because I wasn't comfortable with it being a 3-2 vote, and it made me think that maybe the directors didn't understand the difference between, you know, a shortage and declaring a drought in your area. And what that, you know, entails and what doors that opens. And the president had mentioned that he was concerned about the ramifications. And that's why the vote was I could probably say it was split.
May I interject here, Director Lucy?
Sure.
Because when looking back on this, I actually went back to the tape to listen to, to the direction to legal counsel on that issue, and that was the direction that was given, because I was also confused as far as how to approach this. Well, I had to go back to the tape. But since we're discussing it, and I think that if there's discussions on the weed abatement resolution that did come to the board at the last meeting, but there was a staff report and the resolution wasn't actually attached. So if there's discussion on those two items, probably the best bet is just drop them down to the business items and have discussion on those. Or if you have, and then maybe consider if there's different direction if that shortage declaration was not what the board intended.
Well, I think that you're always very clear and concise on what the board's intention is, even sometimes clearer than us ourselves. The weed abatement resolution is we've been doing it that way for 20 years. I mean, it's the same resolution, so I don't really see having to regurgitate that, but I understand
if we're
going to pull one, we got to pull them both.
Let's just pull I would suggest that if you want to consider the, maybe go back, look at the consent, take a roll call vote on approving the consent agenda as far as items 9A and B, which is the minutes and the cash disbursements. Let's pull down the business items. It's 9C and D to have discussion on it. If there's public comment on those issues, we can take it and then maybe give redirection.
Okay, I'm fine with that, but I guess the chairperson really has to make that decision.
I make a motion.
All right.
That we invalidate the vote we just took on the consent agenda and go back and reconsider A and B and move C and D to the business items.
Second.
All right. Mary Lucy seconded it. Lori seconded it then. Okay. Ms. Angelo seconded it. Marie, we do a roll call vote on that.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes, it carries 5-0. So,
okay, now I make a motion that we approve the consent agenda items A and B.
Second.
Marie?
Director White?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes. Vote carries 5-0 also. So we'll move on to item number 10, which is the business items, which now includes what are labeled as 9 C and D. Ms. Tacker, public comment?
Thank you for doing it that way. With regard to the new 9C or whatever it is now, the drought resolution, it was a 5-0 vote to establish the drought resolution. The split vote was on, and your minutes reflect this, Mary, the minutes reflect that the split vote was on whether or not to write a letter about surplus and whether or not there should be surplus. The fact is there is surplus, there will be surplus, and no one directed anybody to write that letter. So I don't know what happened to that vote and what happens now, because I don't think any action was taken on it. The resolution, the last whereas, where it talks about your action April 9th, it says a public hearing was held, public comment was heard, and considered in regards to the current drought conditions and the board's declaration of a severe water shortage for the community of Oceano. The agenda item that night was a discussion slash action to discuss the policies and procedures when a drought has been declared on a local, county, state, and federal levels. What is required by the declaration? Question mark. What is the impact locally? Bear that. You need a resolution that says we're out of money. And to spend any more time on this, to spend time on grants, Tony needs to be fixing things. And if he's going to put his time towards a grant, let's get something shovel ready. And certainly it's going to take more than 5 days. We had an RFP supposed to go out for a grant writer. I just don't see any movement, it's sorely lacking, and I'm afraid for your district because you're running out of money, and it is leaky pipes and things. So,
thank you, Ms. Tacker. Is there any other?
You don't need to adopt this.
Thank you, Mrs. Tacker. Is there any other public comment this evening? All right, we'll close public comment. At this time, we'll move on to item 10A, which is discussion, review, and adoption of Resolution 2014, a resolution of Board of Directors of the Oceana Community Service District, directing staff to place a lien on properties. Again, we do have a staff report on this. This is something we do each year. Marie, is there anything to add?
No, it's just the liens for delinquent water bills that haven't been paid and also delinquent garbage bills that haven't been paid from the South County Sanitary.
Is there any questions for Ms. McGrath? Everybody's shaking their head. If there's no questions, is there a motion?
Yeah, I move that we accept staff recommendation.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Ms. White seconds. Marie, can you give us a roll call vote, please?
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes. That carries by a vote of 5-0. We'll move on to what was labeled as item number 9C, the weed abatement resolution.
I make a motion that we approve the annual resolution of the Board of Directors for weed abatement.
All right.
Second.
Ms. McGrath, we have another roll call vote. We have a motion and a second. Director White, motion. Director Blackburn was the second.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes. That passes by a vote of 5-0 also. We'll move on to item 9D, which is the Water Conservation Resolution, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceana Community Service District to declare a water shortage for the community of Oceana. Is there any discussion? can I?
Well, of course, there's discussion. I just
that was a pregnant pause.
Yeah, it was. I'm sorry. I had a busy week. I appreciate everybody's comments and their opinions on trying to censor one's right to speak, but we're going to talk about this until we can't talk about it anymore because we're a water company. So that's what we're supposed to do is talk about water, you know, and then we'll talk about sewer, and then we'll talk about how we're going to get water from point A to point B, but we're going to keep talking about it. So anyway, so Jeff, let's go over your language, okay? Because I apologize because I was looking at something different, and so I do appreciate Ms. Tackard pointing me to the other paperwork. And actually, this paper was stuck in my packet, and so I only read it in the minutes, but I didn't see it written out how you had written out. So, there's a difference between a water shortage and a drought, and. What we're trying to attempt here is that you cannot have a surplus of water and scream, I'm in a drought. I don't quite gather that concept unless we're doing it for political reasons. Like, you know, you have a business that's worth $10, but you park a $50,000 Mercedes in it every night. So now I have a business that's worth, you know, $80,000. You know, I know how this works sometimes. So we are affected by the drought. If the state is impacted by the drought and we are state purveyors, how can we not be impacted? We pay the state of California $278,000 plus twice a year to be a state purveyor of water, and still we're getting zero gallons from the state of California. How could we not be impacted by this? And that's what I'm trying to communicate. And if the district does not take a position and either spell out what you're going to do or allows you to open the door for funding for areas
reaching the surplus water, which led to your discussion about where how can we be in surplus, how can you have surplus water when there's a drought. There was also a discussion of would we have a water conservation measures in place, and all these things kind of went into discussion, but at the end, when it was time to direct staff, it came down to a declaration of a water shortage, period. And so I understand why you would look at this and say this is not what I meant to talk about, but when I went back and I had to listen to the tape and I said, well, I don't want to deviate from, I was given very, very, it was narrowed down to that, and so I understand why this rings hollow with what you were trying to accomplish.
Yeah, no, it does nothing to help us.
I know. So it's not lost on me.
But in a sense, I'm okay with that because it was a 3-2 vote, and I was very, very uncomfortable with a 3-2 vote on a policy decision. So if, to ask somebody why don't you support the area being impacted by the drought, I couldn't go back to my board members and say that, you know, because that would be inappropriate. And so I went back and I looked at the tape, and it was, you know, we got maintenance over here, we got policy over here, we got water coming this way, that way, and God forbid we've diversified amongst diversity. I mean, you know, even everybody stands back and goes, the only thing we can criticize them in is their management turnover. You know, we can't even criticize them on other stuff, you know, because we've done such a good job in that area. But what's happened is we've broke ourselves, you know. But we got plenty of water, and we're clean people, and we can take lots of showers if we want, you know. So, but we're still impacted by a drought, you know. We don't have a water shortage, but we're still impacted by the drought because this drought is sucking the financial life out of us. It may not be sucking the water out of us, but it's sucking the financial life out of us. So that's why we went after that grant, you know, and we did qualify for that because we were impacted by the drought because the county took action. And so it would have been a component in the county's plan, you know, because we're in unincorporated area and stuff. So this, I'm glad it came to the table this way, yeah. So we could either deal with it, pull it, or whatever. But if the board doesn't want to see themselves as being impacted by this drought, then so be it.
And
you know,
director, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but to the extent that I understand that this resolution is may not have any actual real impact other than a political statement or a statement from the directors. I understand that. I will tell you that there are other communities that have done similar declarations like this.
This is the as far as I can understand, approximately what we did vote 5-0 to support.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is.
After the surplus water was the split vote, and this was the one that we did support.
Yeah.
It's what we said. I don't know whether it's what we meant to say.
Well, it is what we said. There's no question about
and
that.
And it is from a political standpoint.
It doesn't help anything. It just doesn't. It's what's the point?
Yeah, well, we've already, the San Luis County Board of Supervisors has already declared an emergency for us when they declared it for the whole county. So we're already under that umbrella.
Right. And we'll always be restricted in probably going in, always having the county, having to ride with the county on applying for funding because we are declared under that we didn't do it locally either.
What would make you more comfortable here, Mary?
I wouldn't mind passing
it just for $20 million.
I wouldn't mind approving this. You know, I questioned it 2 weeks ago, but I wouldn't mind approving it just on the basis of politics. It doesn't accomplish anything, but.
Actually, it's $26 million just for the sewer laterals.
No, you got to talk me into your purple pipe, buddy.
And you could look at this as a stepping stone to kind of start laying the foundation towards actual direction, conservation measures, or
it could be a stepping stone.
You're right. It does not accomplish anything but formalize the statement and the declaration and the intent of the board at the last meeting. That's all that is, formalizing what you already said.
Yeah, and that's fine. Now on the surplus, you know, God. Sick of surplus. I don't know if it came across surplus all these years because we've had it, and which you guys haven't had to diversify your water source, and now the surplus is getting less and less, you know, and the dam is going down and down, and so they're faced with the question of do they really have surplus? No, you can't have a drought and have surplus water. It just doesn't work.
Yeah. Language is funny. I know Donald Trump has gone bankrupt at least 6 times while still maintaining more money than all of us. So, I mean, how do you?
So maybe I thought, okay, well, maybe it's a paper drought. We're really okay, you know. No, it's real.
It's real.
It's real. So what I wanted was us to take a position on releasing of surplus. If we're in a severe drought, I would rather us hold on to our surplus. But if the county board of supervisors chooses to release their surplus, right, I want Oceano's fair share. And that's what I need to be absolutely plainly clear on. Is it a political surplus? Is it a paper surplus? Or they don't care what we say. They're going to release the surplus anyway and contradict themselves. So, but if they're going to release surplus, I don't want anybody misinterpreting my words and saying, well, she's against surplus. They don't want their water. That's simply not true. We paid for that water. But if they're not going to release it, we support that.
We voted against it 2 weeks ago.
Say that again, Ms. White.
We voted against it 2 weeks ago, 3-2,
right?
Didn't we?
We voted for it, 3-2.
Not supporting it.
Not supporting the release of surplus is how that was to go.
That if they choose to release the surplus, that doesn't mean that Oceano doesn't want their fair share. We'll take it because we have no control over that.
Right.
You know, but we would assume they hold on to that for, you know, for when we ever do get any water.
I think part of your argument is an integrity argument. Don't call it surplus when you don't have water, right? I think that's part of my understanding of it.
Lori,
so what are we going to do as far as
this resolution?
I was going to make a motion to see if somebody wanted to pass it or we didn't want to pass it. I'll just put it on the table.
No, I'd rather. I think it's fine to pass it.
I make a motion. We consider resolution number 2014, whatever the number is, a resolution of the Board of Directors, Oceana Community Service District, to declare a water shortage for the community of Oceana.
All right. We have a motion. Is there a second to approve this?
Second.
All right. Marie?
Director White?
Jennifer, did you want to say something?
I did. Yeah. I'm really sorry.
Well, we can still say
so
something.
So Matt can say,
All right. We'll hold the motion.
Any questions?
Okay, I'm sorry. So the only thing that I would say about it is I would take out the word severe. Mm-hmm. Because if we have Lopez still, it's still planned that we have Lopez for next year and we have the allocated groundwater, then I wouldn't say that it was a severe water shortage, although it is a shortage because we are hesitant to pump the groundwater because of the level and because we don't have state water.
What are you proposing to change?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
So on the resolution,
yeah,
in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th, whereas,
mm-hmm,
on the last, or almost last line, it says the board's declaration of a severe water shortage.
Okay, just take out severe.
Take out severe.
That's what I was going to suggest, too.
I'd like to amend my motion that we take out severe.
All right. And Mary, do you still second it as modified?
Yeah.
Okay. Ms. McGrath?
Director White?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
I'll go along as well. Motion carries by vote of 5-0. We'll move on to the utility items, which are 11. The first one is the Dacey Project number 6386, APN 062-089-006. And 062-089-015. This is on Beach Street. Extension of the existing will serve letter. Is anybody within 500 feet, Mary? Are you within 500 feet of that?
No. Lucky them.
I am.
Okay. So Ms. Blackburn is going to recuse herself for being within 500 feet of this particular project.
Where's it at?
And this is on the corner of 22nd and Beach, correct?
Hang on.
No, I don't think it's on the corner. Mr. Dacey's here. Good evening, Mike.
Good evening, Board. Michael Dacey, and currently working on the project at 2030.
At least that was right. When the first paperwork came to us.
Right.
I second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
Who made the motion?
I made the motion.
Okay. Ms.
White made the second.
President Guerrero?
Yes. I just want to see her stand.
What are you looking
yes.
for?
Director White?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
It carries by a vote of 4-0. The only thing I don't know if it shows on here, Mr. Dacey, but you need to check with the sewer plant as well. There may be fees due as well to the sewer plant because this is only for the water.
That's right.
Excuse me, I don't.
You may need to check with the sewer plant as well. What happens in Arroyo Grande, this has come up lately, in Arroyo Grande and Grover, since we all feed to the sewer plant, Arroyo Grande and Grover collect those fees. The OCSD does not collect those fees.
Mm-hmm.
And so they need to be checked in with the
South County Sanitary?
South County Sanitary. And I have the number somewhere. Give me a second.
I've been over there before.
Okay. Yeah. If you
and
check
paid
with John,
fees.
If you check with John Clemens, he'll be able to. The reason this came up is through no fault of yours or anybody else's in Oceano, it's 489-6666. That's 489-6666. I noted in one of the financial reviews a few months back that they had no connection expenses from Oceano, but they had them from everywhere else. And I said, that doesn't make any sense. I know we've been giving away water meters. Not giving away. Giving away would be the wrong term. But we've been selling water meters, so this shouldn't be a problem. And
right. Is the extension for 1 year, or is there a possibility to go a little bit further since it does take a while to work through the process? Well,
whatever the request was. In
1 year.
1 year?
1 year, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You know where to find us if...
oh, yeah. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike. Move on to item number 11B, the Old Avocado Ranch. This is the APN. We can fight Ms. Blackburn back quick. APN 062-074-014 and 062-074-015. These are the project on Elm Street. This is the will serve of the Old Avocado Ranch Phase 2. Is Mr. Nope. Casey O'Connor's not here.
Actually, I went to the Oceano Advisory Committee when this came up on the table to ask them to start requesting that people put in street lighting. And they didn't want to, they're not very happy right now.
The OAC is not happy?
Yeah, and Karen, you might want to speak more to that. I spoke to the woman from the county, too, and, you know.
Is that Stephanie?
It's only the developer who's opposed to street lighting.
So yeah, I don't think that. I think this is one Oceano Advisory did not approve because they wanted to find out something about whether streetlights could be required, and it was tabled.
Do you know when that's tabled until?
No. To be honest, gosh, do you remember, Jennifer?
No, I think it was till we heard back from the county.
Yeah, I think it was just tabled until we heard from the county.
What's our obligation here, then? Can we approve it subject to OAC approval, or should we just table it until
they're just an advisory
May 14th?
Yeah, they're...
No, I'd wait till the county responds back, you know, particularly with this one. You know, this is a habitual offender.
If you have hesitations on it,
why don't we wait
there's
till
no
May
14th. Time constraints.
And we'll ask staff, Marie, if you could follow up with the county and find out what the status of the project is.
Okay.
It's probably Stephanie Fuse.
I think it was F-U-H-S.
What's her name?
Stephanie Fuse. It's spelled F-U-H-S. She's usually the one that handles the local projects. If you could check with Stephanie Fuse, and we'll bring that back on May 14th. That's our next regularly scheduled meeting.
So you're basically looking for a clarification on lighting?
Yes.
Okay.
And I guess the permit process and where they're at. Any status update? Okay. Then our final one is I think for the future what we ought to do also is Marie, we should probably talk to John Clemens, who's the plant superintendent at the South Slough CSD, and find out how much the fees are to the plant. We should probably start collecting them as a pass-through so that these...
He and Amy were over a couple of weeks ago, and I believe I know what the fees are. I just was not aware of the fact that Arroyo Grande and Grover collected the fees there when we didn't. And I told them at the counter, tell us what you want us to do, and we'll help you make it happen. We send the money every month for the sanitation, right, the sewer fees. It would just be another line item for them. It's not a problem.
It's just a pass-through. You mean when we bill the form, we do receive some money for billing for?
We do now.
We do now, right. Started about a year ago, yeah. It's a little over a year ago, right in like February or March last year.
Yeah. Well, yes.
All right. Well, why don't we do the items 13, 14, and 15, and then we'll go to closed session at that time. So
Matt, do we need any verbiage from Jeff on adding these fees anywhere, any place?
Well, the question
for the sewer.
The question I would just ask you to talk to John or Amy over at the sewer plant and ask them.
Start with.
how they do it over there.
Okay.
As with Arroyo Grande and Grover, okay. and them collecting the fees for the sewer plant. And then if we'll ask Mr. Minery whether or not we need to bring this back as a board item.
Okay.
Or if whether or not that administratively that can just be handled in-house.
As far as the approval of that,
yes.
I think you should bring it back to the board. It's been on the as a business item.
Okay.
I think you should bring it back and take action on it.
Why don't we do that? We'll
when
just
you
add
figure
that
out the information.
We'll add that at this time for May 14th.
Okay. I'll do a staff report
yeah.
on it and
Mary.
Talk with them and see what we can get pulled together by then. Yeah.
So as 33 1/3% owner of that facility, and we haven't been collecting will serve fees for sewer hookups, what is the fiscal impact to Oceano on that?
I don't think that there's any fiscal impact to Oceano. There has been a number of homes that have been individual parcels that have been developed that were not collected for.
Mm-hmm.
The sewer plant manager and district administrator are trying to figure out if they can go back and collect those fees. It's not Oceano's liability, because if you look at our will serve, it does direct the party seeking the will serve that there may be fees or that there are fees due to the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District.
And
nobody's gone and checked, because
right.
what's happened is that they get their will serve, they get to hook up to the trunk line, and they figure it's all taken care of. Well, it's not. And so
but we have been collecting our fees for the sewer connection.
Right.
That the district has. That's in their will
yeah.
serve. So we're okay on that part.
And we think as best, and there hasn't been a real academic approach to this, but we think this probably started where they stopped collecting the fees, maybe around 2008, 2009, but we're not sure. And so we're going to have to go back and look at some of the old will serve letters and see when that language got added and when they stopped getting collected. Because I think, you know, if the property owners get a bill, you know, there's going to be some shock that goes out. You know,
well,
so.
That's going to be more than shock, because a lot of those people bought those homes brand new from a developer.
Well, and if they
a
did,
a cheap one at that.
The question may be whether or not who's on the hook, and I don't have the answer for that. If it's probably my, I don't know. It could be the developer. It could be the homeowner. So I'll just.
So can we work with the sanitation district and say, when was the last project you collected a sewer
mm-hmm.
connection fee on, and then we can show you what we have in the way of new construction forward from there, and maybe you can check your own records and find out who's paid and who hasn't, and see if they can recoup some of that money?
That's
yeah.
the way that we're talking about them handling
yeah, okay.
it. They'll handle it. They may come to us and ask who it was, and we could probably go back as easily is going back to the minutes and finding those.
Well, and Celia can look at the project numbers, because
yeah.
we keep a running list of
right.
those too. So if she had
oh, great.
From here, it's okay, but from there, it's a question mark. It's easy enough to give them that list.
Well, they can look and see when the last one they got paid
yeah.
for was. Right.
Yeah.
Great.
That'll work.
I think
that would
be a way to handle it. And then if you could maybe give them that list, and then you know, Mike Seitz, our legal counsel, can worry about what to do with it.
Okay.
That's what he gets paid for. So.
He can write the letter, huh?
Yeah. It's not going to be OCSD, because OCSD's letter does say to contact the sanitation district.
We're good.
And nobody has.
We're good.
I don't think people read it. So that's my take on it.
Well, and that's why if we just collected the fees here, it would take care of the whole
right,
problem.
It just takes care of the issue.
Yeah.
Right. Late rent communications. The only one I got was... I got an email communication from Karen Ray about the IRWM encouraging Oceano to try to apply for the money. We already talked about that. So, any other late written received communications?
I got some hate mail from Otis Page.
Anything you want to share?
Yeah, you know, I think the man is a true bigot in every sense of the word. I used to read his articles in the Times Press Recorder, you know, slamming everybody that didn't look exactly like Mr. Otis Page. And so now it's Mr. Otis Page's turn. So I got some hate mail from Mr. Otis Page, and I just wanted to let you know I was keeping an eye out for you, Otis.
Ms. White.
I received something from him, too, and I...
In the budget and the finance meeting, Matt, you're referring to this check with the sanitation district about the connections?
Correct.
Okay.
Awesome.
The next agenda, you mean?
Yeah.
Are you going to print the annual budget on it?
Yeah, we'll put a...
It's only May, you know. Well, I don't want to, like, make you nervous or anything.
Well, we could talk about it in our committee report. I mean, we'll figure out how to do it.
Yeah, because, we'll see you where know, we're at. Kicks into effect. I mean, it's supposed to kick in July 1st, but hey, take your time.
I'm sure we'll be ready to add two items also from Water Sewer, the jetter and the sewer laterals, hopefully,
right.
as well.
Okay. And these are all on the next item agenda, okay.
All right.
Okay.
Then at this time, we'll move into closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6, Conference with Labor Negotiators. The agency designated representative is Vice President Mary Lucy. The employee organization is the Service Employees International Union 620. Item 12B is pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B1. Consider appointment / employment of a public employee. The position is the general manager / interim general manager. It is 7:56, and we'll adjourn at this time.
Can we take a 5-minute break?
Yeah. We'll just move back. We'll meet in the front.
All right.
Sure. Well, sure.
April 28th.
I'm going to go. I'm going to have to do the record.